1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And we're talking about prayer. Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, okay, number one priority, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I'm going to talk to us just for a few minutes how to approach God. How to approach God. Okay, we need to know how to approach Him, how to get His attention, how to come before the Lord. We're going to talk about that. And I hope that this is not just inspirational. I hope it's practical. Some steps that we can put to use. Okay, some of you young people, you need to maybe take some notes on your phone or something, but you need to get this. How to approach God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane? Okay, how many of you have not flown in an airplane and you're not going to? Okay. Or you haven't yet. For those of you that have flown before, do you remember the first time you flew? Well, what it was like to hear all the different sounds that an airplane makes, and the flaps being extended or retracted on the wings, and the landing gear going up and down, and the change of power to the engines. Remember the different movements, of course, you know, takeoff, pushing you back into your seat, and then changing altitudes, and sometimes you feel your stomach kind of drop. The feeling of the plane's wheels touching down, and everybody kind of breathes a sigh of relief, and then the reversing of the engines, the brakes stopping the plane, and it's you know, there's a lot of things. If you've not experienced that before, it's like, okay, is this normal? Air travel has certainly changed our world. And on the right plane, with the right amount of fuel and all that, you can get around in the world in a day, 24 hours. Just, you know, you can go from here to Tokyo, Japan, and you can go to Australia. You can go anywhere in the world. When pilots are learning to fly, what do you think takes more time to teach? How to take off? Or how to land? Well, both of them can be, you know, can be very, very important, obviously. But how to take off, it's much easier. You just kind of keep it on the runway, get the speed up, and pull back on the stick, and then eventually the plane will kind of do what it's designed to do. Now it's a little more complicated than that. Don't just go jump in an airplane, think I got this, but. Here's the deal. Once you get up, you got to land it. And landing takes a little more practice. You have to know where the runway is, first of all. You got to know what the plane's angle of attack is. And are you coming in too steep? Are you coming in not steep enough? And what's the airspeed? Am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? What's the wind doing? And how many of you have ever come in and they had to do a crosswind landing and they're coming in like this because that wind's blowing so hard they're trying to stay where the runway is and then they turn it right before they land. It's pretty neat. Air traffic control constantly monitors all the different planes in an area and directs the flow of air traffic. And when planes are coming in for a landing, they line them up for what's called the correct approach. When a plane is landing, there's something that's called the approach. The approach, the best way for them to come into the airport and land on the runway. I'll never forget, it was a year or so ago, and Colt and I were flying to Indianapolis, Indiana for the general conference there. We had been bumped up to first class, so that was pretty cool. But it had been a long day of traveling, and we were ready to get there. And so we were coming in to land at the airport, and I heard all of the regular sounds, the engine throttling down, the flaps being extended, the landing gear lowered. We knew that, you know, we'd be on the ground in a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, The engines roared, and that plane, it banked sharply to the left as it pulled up faster than what I had ever experienced before in an airplane. Like I said, we got bumped up to first class with all those, big-time people, and so we were just kind of up there, but I wanted to act all calm and collected, like I know what's going on. But my eyes got a little wide, and I looked at Colt and said, "Hey, that's not normal." And after a couple minutes of us wondering what in the world's going on, the pilot finally came on over the intercom and said, "Sometimes these approaches just don't work out, and we've got to go around and come at it again. Sometimes these approaches don't work out. We've got to go around and come at it again." I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently they had too many planes coming in the same place or something, and at the last moment we were directed to pull up, to go around and try it again. It was another like 30 minutes or so before we got on the ground, but thankfully we were safe. I'm glad somebody was looking out for us. Our subject tonight is how to approach God. Much of what I'm teaching comes from Brother Verbal Bean's teaching on prayer. If you're interested in going deeper in prayer, there are parts of his book on prayer that will open your eyes to things that nobody else really teaches about. But studying through the Bible, we can find various ways to approach God, to come before his presence. For instance, Psalm 104 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." That's one way to approach God. You begin thanking God. You begin praising God. And you're talking about entering into his presence. Many times people will pray through the tabernacle plan, going through the various times of prayer and with the outer court and the inner court, and then the holy place, the holy of holies, and different ways to approach God. How we approach God is very important. Think about approaching a king. Even the queen can't just walk in and approach the king. She had to have an invitation, or he had to extend the royal scepter to her. Coming before a king is not just done any old way you wish. And we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So not every manner of approach works. Now, I'm not saying that we have to use fancy words or long sentences or certain format necessarily, but he wants us to come to him on his terms. And our attitude of how we come before God is very important. It matters. It's not about our will, it's about his will. God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. And so we want to make sure we find the right approach to come before God so that we can get his attention and see our prayers answered. Amen. It's kind of like driving on a multi-lane highway. Not every lane will get us where we want to go. Sometimes that lane might have worked great yesterday, but it might not be flowing so well today. Sometimes the approach that worked best in our last prayer time, and it was wonderful, but now it might not be the one that gets through today. But if one approach doesn't seem to be flowing, don't stop. Just get in another lane and keep trying. Because prayer works. Prayer works. Hallelujah. The last part of James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It's going to have an effect. Amen. So find the right lane and be determined in approaching God. Maybe we're not getting through, but try another approach. Keep praying. Come at it from another angle. Try another lane, but find a way to touch God. Our text tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So we see here some different approaches to communicating with God. Sometimes our prayer time, it might include all of these. There's other times that we figure out that one of these approaches, it's just hitting right. This is the right one, and so we just go with that one. First of all, we're talking about prayer. This is approaching God. That's done through prayer. That's really our subject tonight. But let's talk about prayer specifically, because Paul mentioned prayers. What approach is prayer versus supplication or intercession or giving of thanks? Prayer is simply this. It's talking with the Lord. It's talking with God. Notice it's talking with God, not talking to God. A lot of us, we've been guilty of talking to God. We came with our list of things that we wanted to talk about. We had 33 things that we were upset about or that we needed God to do, and so we just went through that list as fast as we could. And then when we were finished saying what we wanted to say, we were like, okay, God, I'm done. Great talking to you. See you later. We were talking to God. That was very poor communication on our part. Prayer is talking with God. Without communication, there is no relationship. So if we aren't praying, if we aren't talking with God, there's no communication, and we don't have a real relationship with Him. I know we like to say, but I go to church, and I pray every once in a while at church, and you know, I pray before my meals, and I pray. That's a good start. That's a good start. But that's not the relationship building kind of prayers that we have to have. It has to happen daily. It might just be a few minutes a day at first, but that relationship will grow and it will build as much as we will let it, as much as we will allow it. God wants that kind of communication, that kind of relationship with us. If we're not praying, can we really say that we know God? Or that God knows us? Because without communication, there is no relationship. Prayer is talking with God as we would talk with our friend. He cares about what we've experienced during the day. He cares about the needs in our life, and we should care about what His desires are and what He wants to see happen in our world. We're talking with Him, and we're feeling after His presence, and we're praying about things that are important in our life, but we're also praying, Lord, let me see what's important to You. Now, sometimes it's good to review what prayer is not, okay? Prayer is not getting our Bible out, turn it open, you know, where it looks good, and then putting on an inspirational playlist, and then making our favorite cup of coffee, and then taking a picture so we can post it on social media so everybody knows how spiritual we are. Prayer is talking with God. And prayer can't be done unless we do it. It's kind of like learning to ride a bike. We can, you know, watch YouTube videos of how to ride a bike. You can talk to people and ask them, well, how did you learn how to ride a bike? And we can visualize riding a bike in our mind. But until you get on the bike and start riding it, we're not going to learn how to ride a bike. And as we're learning, we may not be perfect. You start riding a bike, you're probably going to fall a couple of times. And same thing is with prayer. It's just like the same thing. You don't learn how to pray until you just do it. It may not be perfect right away, but keep doing it. The more you do it, the better it will get. Amen. Prayer is talking with God. Just get on that bike and start riding and say, Lord, I'm going to do my best here, but I want to talk to You. I want a relationship with You. So prayer is talking with God. Now, supplication is a little more intense than praying. It's another approach of prayer. But it's more consuming. You feel supplication. We're moved. Our spirit is moved in supplication. There's probably some tears and some weeping that goes on, and there's more emotions that are involved, and we feel the Spirit of God more strongly in supplication. It's more intense than regular prayer. Not every time of prayer is like this, but oh, how wonderful when it is. How wonderful it is, because you know that you're approaching the presence of God, and you know that he's in the room, and that he's listening, and that he's moving, because you can feel him. Sometimes when you're praying, you don't always necessarily feel anything happening. Sometimes you're just having a conversation, but it's working. It doesn't mean it's not working, but you don't feel it like you do in supplication. When you're in supplication, something is moving in the atmosphere, and you're picking up. I feel it right now. It's that feeling that, oh, wow, I'm not by myself. The presence of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. For myself, I don't usually go past a basic prayer by sitting or walking or walking and talking with God. For me, supplication usually happens when I'm kneeling with my eyes closed, blocking out distractions. Okay, now you don't have to necessarily kneel, but I feel like it helps if you're able to physically, because you want to put your head down, you want to block out distractions. And my mind and my heart and my will are seeking after God along with my words. And at first it may seem like we're coming up against a door that's closed, but if supplication is the right approach, that door will open. And the feeling of God's presence gets stronger, and the burden will be heavier. Okay, so you see the difference. Supplication is more intense than regular prayer. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's more effective than prayer. It's just a different approach. One approach might work better than another approach at different prayer times, okay? But find the one that works and go with it. Find the one that works and go with it. Intercession. It is the deepest form of approach. When the spirit of intercession comes on us, we're talking about now, we've entered past the outer court. We're going into that inner court. We're approaching the Holy of Holies and talking with God in a greater unity, in a greater purpose. And it's even more intense than supplication is. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." A lot of times, intercessory prayer is it's praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a groaning that's there. There's a struggle that's going on. We're standing in the gap for some need and some person and some situation. The burden of intercessory prayer is heavy. It is a heavy burden. It can feel like someone is just, they feel like they're going to die if they don't get an answer. And so they've got to pray through this. And physically we feel intercession. The body will tense up. It's like something is being birthed in prayer. Sadly, many Christians have never experienced true intercessory prayer. It's not that they wouldn't want to, but they really just don't know what it is and don't know what to expect or how to seek for it or how to move into that. And so they don't ever push into that dimension of prayer. This approach, intercessory prayer, it takes a lot out of somebody, because the burden can come at any time. It can come at any time, in any place. And you can be at a birthday party and all of a sudden, bam, it hits you. And it's you feel depressed and you feel like, oh, the world's coming to an end. What it is you're feeling the burden of intercessory prayer. It may not be at our scheduled prayer time, but there can be a specific need right now that needs to be prayed about. Intercession, it's usually about there's some specific need. It's a specific situation or person or maybe a specific time, but there's something there that needs to be prayed through. Brother Verbal Bean makes this statement. It's kind of a strong statement, but he said, "God doesn't care until we care." Now, that sounds wild. What do you mean God doesn't care? Think about it. Why are whole cities lost and going to hell without a church or somebody to teach them the truth? Why doesn't God just save them? God has chosen through prayer, through intercession, that that's how he would open doors, and that's how he would send the preacher, and that's how he would work miracles, and that's how people would be saved and revival would take place in a city. God certainly knows what we need before we ask it, but he waits until someone is moved in prayer. He has chosen the approach of prayer if we want to see a difference. Amen. We can talk about it all day long on Facebook. We can complain and we can say, well, this needs to be done and that needs to be done. But I want to tell you how to change something. You got to find the right approach of prayer and say, okay, God, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find the lane that works. I'm going to find the channel that flows, because something's got to change. The fourth approach mentioned in our text is giving thanks. Giving thanks. Sometimes if we praise and worship God from a sincere heart, we don't even have to ask him for something. We've already prayed, and now we're thanking God and praising him, and he'll answer. He'll answer. In fact, some of the greatest results that people have had in prayer have been when they quit asking and they start thanking God in advance for it. Because it's like God says, they're worshiping me for what I haven't even done yet. They're thanking me for what I haven't even performed yet. I'm not gonna let them get one up on me. I'm gonna do it. And so you thank God. Lord, I thank you for the miracle. I thank you, God, for saving my lost loved ones. I thank you for the revival that you're sending. Lord, I thank you for those that are receiving the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, I thank you for those that are being baptized in Jesus' name. I thank you for God for sending the angels to minister in the streets of this city. And God says, hey, they're thanking me for it. I'm going to do it. Some of you need to start thanking God for the miracle. You need to stop asking and say, I'm going to start thanking him. I'm going to start praising him. I'm going to start worshiping him for what he's going to do. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you put it into use right now? Thank God for something. Thank God for something. Lord, I thank you for the miracle. I thank you for the financial blessing. I thank you for the new job. I thank you, Lord, for the miracle in my family. I thank you for healing right now in my body. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, our words are powerful. What we say is powerful. I've often taught that if you need healing, we're going to pray for healing, we're going to believe for healing. And then every time you feel that pain, or you're reminded of that situation in your body, or whatever it is, every time it comes to mind, instead of being like, oh, like we want to do, say, Jesus, I thank you for healing whatever it is. I thank you, God, for your healing virtue that is working. I might feel the pain right now, but God, I know you're able, and I know you're working, and I thank you for it ahead of time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So here's what I'm going to close with tonight. We want to know how we can be putting this into action. Okay, so what do we say to God when we go to prayer? First of all, I think it's important. We all need our private time of prayer. But sometimes when we're learning to pray, it's good to get around people that know how to pray. Okay, and it's not that, you know, we don't need to be praying, but sometimes you want to listen to a prayer warrior and think, okay, what are they praying here? How did they start off? How do they worship God? What do they say? You know, and so you can kind of pick up. Now, make sure this person's a good prayer warrior. You don't want to be picking up bad habits, but find somebody who knows how to pray and says, hey, I want to pray with you. So let's put this into action. What do we say to God? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 19, and you might want to underline this in your Bible and memorize the scripture. But here in Daniel, we find a great example. Daniel was a man of prayer, okay? When it wasn't convenient, when it wasn't safe for him to do so. He was a man of prayer, and God answered his prayers. And in this chapter, we see how God answered miraculously. But Daniel chapter 9, verse 19, there's a great example of how to approach God through prayer. He says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Let's break this down. The first step in approaching God is, O Lord, hear. God, hear me. God, hear me. I want you to hear my prayer. God, let me get your attention. That's really what we're saying. Lord, I want you to turn your attention to me right here now in Springfield, Missouri, and on this Wednesday night. Lord, I need your attention. Turn your face towards me. Those that will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That means we're seeking his attention. Lord, don't be looking somewhere else right now, but look down right here at your servant that's praying that needs a miracle. Amen. God, hear me. God, hear me. We need his attention before we can get an answer from him. How do I get God's attention? When he has our attention, we have his attention. When he has our attention, we have his attention. Distractions, scattered thoughts, treating prayer too casually, that's not going to get God's attention. But when he has our full attention and we blocked out the distractions, that's when we have his attention. Matthew 6 and 6 says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Okay, you don't like have to go literally into your closet. I mean, you could if that's what you choose, but you need a place you can go and pray and get alone with God. Okay, it might be in your living room, might be in your bedroom, might be in your basement somewhere. Whatever works for you. So I remember elders talking about how they'd go out in the woods and pray. But you need some place that you get alone with God and you block out the distractions. When we get God's attention, that is not the time to stop praying. A lot of times people pray until they get the Lord's attention and then they feel his presence and they're like, okay, good, well, I touched the Lord. Okay, it's time to go. That's the time to start praying. If he turns his attention towards you and his spirit is in the room and he's moving and working and you feel it, and that's the time to pray and say, okay, God, we're getting down to business here. I'm going to talk to you and you're going to talk to me, and there's going to be something that changes, and there's going to be a power that I'm going to come out of this place different. Hallelujah. When we get God's attention, that's the time to start praying. So, God, hear me. And you can just tell the Lord that. I do that a lot. I say, God, hear my prayer. Hear me, O Lord. Start then praying, and you can start with thanks. Go through all the stuff that you're thankful for. God's been good to us. Well, I may not have everything I want, but God's blessed me. And you can go down the list. God, I thank you for a house to live in, a roof over my head. I thank you for a car to drive. I thank you, God, for food to eat. And, thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, God, for the family of God. And just go on and on. Then go into praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Lord, I worship you. I praise you. God, you are awesome. There is no God like you. There's no God beside you. You're the only God. Lord, you're worthy of praise. There's God, I worship your name and I magnify you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, you're the first and the last. You're Alpha and Omega. You just start praising and worshiping God. And all of a sudden, he turns his attention toward his child that's thanking him and that's praising him. Hallelujah. You can also, during that time, surrender to God. Say, God, your will be done. Your will be done in my life. Lord, God, I put my will on the altar, but your will be done. So That's all where you're praying, Lord, hear me. Okay? Next, oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, forgive. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to go through this time of, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. This was the second part of Daniel's prayer. Oh, Lord, forgive. Reading on, let's read again Daniel 9:19. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Verse 20, Daniel says, and whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel. He was confessing his sin. Lord, when you're praying in forgiveness and asking God to forgive you, all of a sudden stuff will start coming to your mind. Oh, I remember that word that I said. That wasn't good. I remember that thought that I had and entertained, and I remember that thing I did, and might be stuff from years ago all of a sudden comes up, and you confess it to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry when I did that. That wasn't right. I don't want to do that again. Forgive me, Lord. I turn away from that sin. But Daniel said, while he was speaking and praying and confessing his sin and the sin of his people Israel, sometimes we might need to repent for our nation. You might know about generational things that happen in your family, and you repent for your sins and the sins of your fathers. Sometimes you might not even know what it is, but just say, Lord, I repent of my sins and the sins of my fathers. God, forgive me. Take those things from me. While he was doing all this and presenting his supplication before the Lord, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So he was there, he was praying, he was seeking God, and while he was confessing his sin and the sin of his people, and while he was in supplication, God sent an angel. The angel showed up. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me, God. I want to be right with you. Lord, I pray that you'd wash me, cleanse me, Lord. Make me new. God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want you to be pleased with my life, Lord. Show me if there's some things I need to change, if there's something I need to do different. Amen. Oh, Lord, forgive. The third part, oh Lord, hearken. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. Okay, not only hear me. Okay, it's kind of interesting that he starts off, oh Lord, hear, and then he says, oh Lord, hearken. Okay, I guess it's possible for the Lord to hear but not to hearken. Hearken is different. Hearken and do. Don't wait, Lord. Defer not. Don't wait, but do it now. Do it now. Praise the Lord. Do something, God. Do something. Lord, you've heard my prayer. Lord, I've searched my heart so that I'm right with you and there's not anything blocking my prayers. And Lord, I'm in the right approach and I can feel your presence. And now, Lord, you see this need and I pray that you hearken and do. Lord, I pray that you respond to this need. I pray that, Lord, defer not. Don't wait, but do something now. Let there be a change right now. Let that person be different right now. Let this situation be different right now. Let there be a miracle right now. Hearken and do, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, don't wait, but do it now. Do something, oh Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Hear me. Forgive me. Hearken and do something, God. Okay? So I know, you know, we've prayed and used different types of things, you know, the prayer wheel. There's 20 different things that you pray, and if you pray all of those, you pray an hour, and there's praying through the tabernacle and, you know, different things like that, and those are all great. But here's just a basic thing. Oh Lord, hear me, oh God. And you talk to the Lord and open it up. Then Lord, forgive, and then Lord, hearken and do. Amen. I challenge you to put this to the test and use it. I believe that God will help you. And we want to find the right approach. We want to find the right approach. Sometimes you just come before the Lord and you just start talking to him, and it's like, wow, the heavens open up and there he is. Other times it's like, man, there's nothing. What's going on? And you got to change the approach. Come at it just a little bit different angle. Sometimes maybe you tried all prayer and supplication, intercession. It's like, man, nothing's happening. Why don't you just back off a little bit and start thanking God for something? Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I know you're real. I know you're alive. I know you're well. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that I can stand on your word today, Lord. I may not be hearing your voice right now, but I can read your word and hear your voice. Lord, I thank you for the power that of your spirit, Lord, when you filled me with the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Jesus, that I was baptized, and I remember coming up out of the water. My sins have been washed away. I thank you, Lord, for the power of deliverance, because you brought me out, Lord, and you delivered me from... And feel the atmosphere start to change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So how to approach God. How to approach God. Remember my story about flying there, and all of a sudden the plane is zoomed up and we didn't know what was going on. And I thought, well, surely he's going to come on and tell us something. And because you look out the side, you can't see what's ahead. And he took his sweet time about it. And I'm like, what is going on? And is there a problem with the plane? What? This has never happened to me like this before. Finally, he came on and explained. Prayer, when you find the right approach, it's like God. He says, hey, I want you to come up in the cockpit with me. Instead of sitting in the back of the plane where you don't know what's ahead, prayer, when you find the right approach, it's like God says, come up here and I'm going to show you what's ahead. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes we think of prayer as, well, it's an obligation. It's something I got to put my time into prayer. If I don't pray an hour, then I'm, you know, whatever. Our pastor wants us to pray. It's incidentally, tomorrow's our church fast day. Our monthly church fast day. So let's be fasting and praying. And so now pastors ask me to pray. So I got to pray. And it's an obligation of something. I want to tell you, we've got to lift our expectations. There's an approach of prayer when you find the right approach that God says, okay, not only are we going to talk about some things, but I'm going to share some stuff with you that you don't get naturally. You don't get with human understanding. You don't get with just regular natural knowledge. But I'm going to open up a door into the supernatural, and I'm going to let you understand some things that you would never understand if you don't come to me with the right approach in prayer. It's like the pilot saying, come on up here. I'm going to show you where we're going. I'm going to show you what we're doing. I'm going to show you what's about to happen. And all of a sudden you start to get a little vision. And your faith is built. And instead of being all depressed and all down in the mullet grubs, you're like, God's got a plan for me. And God's got a revival for this church. And God's got a miracle in store. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, help us to go to another level in prayer. I pray that you will let this church, Lord, let it be like we just take off into another dimension of prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would put a burden of prayer upon us. I pray that you'd help us to respond to that burden. Don't let us just shake it off. Don't let us just ignore it. But, oh God, I pray that you will let men and women and young people and children, Lord, let them be moved to supplication. Let them be moved to intercession. I pray, God, that you would help new converts, people that are just fresh in the church. Let them catch hold of this, to realize that the supernatural power that's available to them through prayer. I pray, God, that you would move in this church and help us. Help us to go to another level, God, in prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I've gone longer than I normally go, but the Lord's done some things here tonight. We need some ushers. I wonder if we could have a couple of ushers bring our offering pans up front, and then we're just going to gather. If we get some offering pans up here on the altar, and we're just going to worship God together. Praise the Lord.